I'm glad He's the God of the valley too. Amen. Yes. Yes.
We can't see a way. But we trust His will that He's put His hand in it and stirring it.
Amen.
It's been so hopeless and so dark sometimes that that's what I feel is the closest is not when things are going
yes.
on. Yes. And I would make it even worse that each storm that He's here, He brought peace to.
Yes.
Amen.
Exactly right. Right. Exactly right. Yes. Amen. Yes. No. Amen. 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 Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Amen, hon. I appreciate that this morning. It goes right along with our text. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10. Brother Mike, would you pray, please? Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10. I'd like to deal this morning with only four short verses in Luke 10, verse 38. I'd like to have the church to be reminded this week. Please pray for Sister Cormay as she goes through a series of doctors this coming week. It's so good to have her this morning. You'll notice within our text we have another double name call in the Bible. We've dealt previously with Abraham, Abraham, Simon, Simon, last week Saul, Saul. This morning I'd like to deal with this fourth Bible character, for the Bible says, and it doesn't matter what the Bible says. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You may be seated this morning. Father, we do bless you. Thank you for the good time that we have here today. Thank you for the opportunity to stand in this place and proclaim the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus. I pray now you let preaching be easy a few moments. Do that only what the Word of God can do today. I want to pray for our nation, God, our community, our homes, those on the prayer list of our church. I pray you touch them. God, thank you for these little ones in our presence today. Thank you for that. Thank you for the young one that you saved this last week in revival meetings. Help us now, and we'll be grateful to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Preaching out of Luke 10 today on the thought, Martha, Martha. There in this passage, there's five verses that is so loaded. There is no way that I would have the time of day to empty out these five verses. But I would like to just hit a few Bible truths and bring some things to our memory and to our heart today. First of all, you'll notice in verse 38 and 39, you'll see there was a demonstrative love. A demonstrated love. Now in this passage, we hear a lot about Martha, and I'll have some things to say about her, but it seems as this passage is not about bad, but it seems to be about things from good to better. In other words, things are okay, but it could get better. So here in this passage, you'll notice there's a demonstrative love. Look what your Bible says. Jesus came by and he entered into a certain village. Now we know that this is Bethany. Now the Lord, he had this special family with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They lived there at Bethany. And so Jesus has come by. And look what Martha does. Look at this demonstrative love. She received him into her house. I'm going to tell you, when Jesus comes inside, it does make a difference. And I want to say something, that Martha loved Jesus. Martha loved Jesus. She heard Jesus was coming by. I don't know if she went out on the porch. I don't know if Jesus came by and knocked on the door. I don't know if she seen out the window a great crowd coming. But I do know this, she received him into her house. Have you ever received Jesus into your house? And so here, I want to give this Bible character some compliments today. She did love Jesus, and she wanted Jesus to be inside. The greatest day of my life is when I asked Jesus to come inside. Will you ever forget the day that when Jesus walked into your house? Oh, what a difference it made when he walked into my house, this earthly tabernacle that one day is going to lay it down and go to the heavenly city. Oh my goodness, this demonstrative love, I want to commend her for her love to Christ. She received him into her house. She wanted a good place for him to come and stay. You know, Jesus just could not go into any place and feel welcome, but she brought him into her house. I want to ask you, would Jesus be welcome in your house today? Would Jesus feel right at home in your house today? You know, I was saying about as Brother Dana preached a few months ago, one of the greatest messages I've ever heard with Abraham, Sarah, and God. You remember when Abraham made that supper for God, and he said, I don't want you to bring nothing. I just want you to take your shoes off and come under my table. I know you're real busy. I just want you to come in my house. I don't want to ask you one thing. I just want you to sit down around my table. Oh, I wish we could get that kind of way this morning and realize and set up a place that Jesus could come inside of where we live. So here, Martha, her demonstrated love. But I don't know if you noticed this in the text. Many times it's been ran over, and I never seen this till last night in the study. Look, if you would, in verse 39. Not only this demonstrative love, but look at this distracted life. A distracted life. Now, you'll have to agree with me that Martha loved Jesus. Come on up in here. We need you to be here. I want you to be here. But now something is sort of hidden in the Scriptures, and you've really got to look at it and dissect it. There's this distracted life. Look in verse 39. And she had a sister. Martha had a sister called Mary. Here's our hinge in the Scripture, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. I see a distracted life. Do you see what the Bible just told us? That there had been a time when Martha sat at His feet. She had a sister called Mary, look, which also sat at Jesus' feet. Let me tell you, Martha, it had been a time in Martha's life when she too had sat at Jesus' feet. But I see a distracted life. I wonder what got her away from His feet. Can you remember the times gone by when you used to sit at His feet? Do you remember times when you too were accompanied with others that sat around His feet? But now we find in this passage, only Mary is sitting there at His feet. I wonder how she got so distracted that she's no longer sitting at His feet. We see this distracted life. You know, there's so many distractions in life. I look back as an older preacher. I remember as a young preacher how God used to thrill me and how I was so enthused at just sitting at His feet and taking every word in that a man of God could give me. And I've noticed this. Life has a tendency to distract us. We sort of feel like that may be too elementary, too basic. So we get real busy doing things and we miss the most critical thing, sitting at His feet. She become distracted in life. You know, young families, life will distract you. I believe every family ought to have vision. I'm a goal-oriented person. I think you ought to have goals. I think that you got to want to have something in this life and go after it by the grace of God. But don't forget the key element. Stay at Jesus' feet. We get so distracted. So distracted. Now, you'll notice this demonstrated love. She received Him into her house. But now we see this distracted life. She also sat at Jesus' feet with Mary. Thirdly, leads us to verse 40, where she's been preached about for ages. Not on this demonstrated love and this distracted life, but now look at this disgruntled labor. Her disgruntled labor in verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about. This word cumbered simply means distracted or pulled away. She's cumbered about. And look what she's doing. With much serving. And she came to Him, and this is what she said. She sort of chews Him out a little bit. Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Now, I want to say some things about this distracted life and this disgruntled labor. Martha could not see what Mary was doing. She could only see what she was not doing. And I've noticed when people get away from the feet of Jesus, they get so critical of others. They become judge and jury. She was cumbered about. She was disgruntled in her labor. She was working for Jesus, but she no longer was at His feet. She had become so busy and so distracted. She was just in a whirlwind. I read a story about a little boy who went down to the grocery store. He walked in. The old grocery man said, "Son, what can I get for you?" He said, I need a box of Duck's washing powders." He said, "What you gonna do with them Duck's washing powders?" He said, I'm gonna wash my cat." He said, "Well, now boy, you don't put them washing powders on that cat." He said, "Oh, it'd be all right." So little boy got that box of washing powders and he went home, and in a few days he come back in. The old man said, "Hey, young man," said, "what can I help you with today?" He said, "By the way," he said, "how's your cat doing?" He said, "Well, he died." He said, "It died." He said, "I told you not to put them washing powders on that cat." He said, "Oh, it wasn't the washing powders, it was the spin cycle." See, that's where a lot of us is at. We in a spin cycle. We become distracted and we're looking at the news and we're looking at all the chaos and we're looking at everybody else. But I've noticed when I get at His feet, it sure does help me in my life. We in a spin cycle in America. America, get back at Jesus' feet. Church, get back at His feet. So we see this disgruntled labor. Be careful that you judge others, because Jesus may see what they're doing more important than what you're doing. I want to say that again. Be careful that you judge others that's working in His kingdom. Because Jesus may think more of what they're doing than what you're doing. This disgruntled labor. But look in verse 41. Now, she has sort of chewed the Lord out. Let's go from this disgruntled labor to all of a sudden in our Bible, you'll notice there appears the devoted Lord. He was willing to listen to what she had to say. My wife had talked with a lady this week, and this lady appeared to be upset with God. Many times in life, you may say, "Well, there's no way I could." There are some things could happen to you that you could become upset with God. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying you're liable. That God will allow things to happen that you get upset with what has happened. And so here we see our devoted Lord. He talks to her and he calms down the situation. Now, here's Martha. I could just see her. She's in the kitchen. She's making the Lord biscuits, and she might have had some gravy, and she's got this a-going, and she's got pans a-flying, and she goes over to the window, and she looks out, and there's Mary just sitting there at His feet. She goes back, and she says, "I declare, don't nobody care what I'm doing. What in the world? Why won't somebody do something and help me do something?" And she said, "Lord, would you get Mary up off that floor and get her to come help me? I'm tired of throwing these pans around." Well, if she'd been at his feet, she wouldn't have been throwing pans around. You see, I do commend Martha for her working for the Lord. We live in a day and hour when nobody wants to do nothing for the Lord. I mean, they don't want to do nothing. I mean, you ask somebody to do something, "No, preacher, we've done our job. We come and got in on the service, heard you preach, we're going home, we're done for the week. That ain't how it's supposed to work. That's not how it's supposed to work. Thank the Lord. Now, let's don't bury Martha. Let's see if we can't bring a balance in this sermon. Wouldn't it be a blessing to have work and worship? But I've noticed a lot of times when I'm on the spin cycle, it's for one reason. I've left His feet. I've left, and you think about that. When things get chaotic, and you're run rag to bush, and your nerves are shot, can you imagine what it'd do for your day if you'd just disconnect and get at His feet? So we see a balance approach, work and worship. So now the Lord replies to her, and I guess maybe He does reply to her, not such in a stern way, but He replies to her in a dramatic way. This is what He says, "Martha, Martha, Martha, Martha." I'm glad He knows my name. And I'm glad He loves me enough He'll call my name twice. Martha, Martha. Look what Jesus tells her about this devoted Lord. All of a sudden the Bible says in verse 41, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Things. You're so troubled about things. Things have put you in chaos. Things have got you. Martha, Martha. This devoted Lord. I want to say something. Jesus, I don't want you to miss this because this is what the whole passage is about to my heart where I'm fixing to go right now and close. Our devoted Lord. Jesus enjoyed Martha's cooking. He needed her cooking. Jesus needed to be fed. There's things need to be done. Jesus wanted Martha's cooking. I love good cooking, don't you? But I want to say this. Jesus wanted Martha's cooking, but He really, beside her cooking, He wanted her company. He enjoyed her cooking, but what Jesus really wanted was her company. Would you just sit down and let's be together a while? You know, I got to pondering this thought last night. Over in the book of Hebrews, I believe Paul wrote this book, but he made a statement in Hebrews 4 and 14. And I want you to get this thought. He says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest, and He's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." And verse 15, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." In other words, He can be touched. That one little word totally shifts this whole statement. If the writer said this, "For we have a high priest which cannot be touched," that would bother me. But the Bible says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in need." Now here's my thought on this devoted Lord when He said, "Martha, Martha, I enjoy your cooking, but I really would enjoy your company." The Lord has feelings. We are His children. He was a man of like passions as us, but yet He never knew sin. Jesus knows what it is to be human. And can I ask you today, don't you think Jesus has feelings? The Bible says the Spirit of God can be grieved. He can be quenched. Why, sure He has feelings. Let me ask you this. You that have children, you might not agree with everything that they do. But they're your children. And sometimes you just want them to be around you. Don't you think that Jesus feels the same way with us, Ken? Sometime I just wish you'd disconnect, sit at my feet, and let's fellowship a while. Ken, I want you to be around me a little bit. We get so busy demanding God and asking God, what happened to the days in our life when we just sat down and said, Lord, I just want to sit here with you a little while. I just want a fellowship with you. You see, He enjoyed Martha's cooking. The cooking wasn't bad. But He wanted the company. When's the last time you fell at His feet and just enjoyed the presence of God? When's the last time you just fell at His feet and said, Lord, I want to thank You. I want to thank You that I was a stranger and You took me in. Lord, I just want to thank You. Lord, I just desire this fellowship with You today. You say, why do you say that? Because He lives on the inside and He's real this morning. And He has feelings. Don't you think He would want to spend time with you? Our devoted Lord. I'm glad He didn't take this knocker back in the kitchen. But He said, Martha, Martha. The last point this morning, watch this in your Bible. A demonstrated love, she received Him to her house. A distracted life, she used to sit at His feet. A disgruntled laborer, Lord, don't you care? But a devoted Lord, Martha, Martha. But lastly, look in verse 42, there's a declared lesson. A declared lesson. Jesus is the greatest teacher. This is what He says, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Listen to me. I seen something last night and I want to share it with the church that I read. It spoke volumes to my heart. I worked for a man many years that taught this principle. Unless you come apart, you'll come apart. And this is what I read and I loved it. Brother Daniel's two fellers, they're cutting wood all day long with an axe. One was a very busy man. They went from daylight, they cut all day till dark. One man never stopped. Another man, he stopped on the hour. And at the end of the day, the fellow that never did stop, he walked over to the man that had stopped every hour and he said, now, I don't know what's going on here, but there's a problem. He said, I've worked the hours you've worked and I've never stopped and you've cut twice the amount of wood that I have and you stopped every hour. And I love what the old man said. He said, yeah. But when I stopped every hour, I sharpened my axe. Isn't that true? I stopped every hour. But I sharpened my axe. Jesus said, Martha, it's not that I don't care about what you're doing. Martha, things do have to get done. But Martha, you've got to have a balance. Get back to where you was. Let me share if you'd come this morning. I read three places where Mary was mentioned. You always find her at His feet. He Here in Luke 10, you'll find her at His feet as if she simply says this, "Lord, I want You." He come in the house, she just dropped at His feet. "Lord, I want You." We find her again. You remember when Mary and Martha, their brother Lazarus, had died, Jesus stayed two days in the same place where He was, and He came to them, and Martha runs right out. That's what she says. If you'd been here, He wouldn't have died. We find in Luke 10 where Mary, in her appearance, she falls at His feet that I preached to this morning, and she says, "Lord, I want You." But in John 11, at that family meeting that day, she comes, when He comes in town, she falls at His feet as simply she says this, "Lord, I need You. Lord, I need You." And then we find the third time in the Bible that Mary shows us something. It's in the next chapter, John 12. She falls at His feet and breaks that alabaster of ointment and pours over His head and wipes His feet with her tears. We find the first time she simply said, "Lord, I need You." The second time simply says, "Lord, I want You." But the third time she simply says, "Lord, I love You. Lord, I love You." You may be here today and you too, like Mary, maybe you just want to say, "Lord, I want You." You may be like her second appearance and say, "Lord, I need You." But you may be here today and you may be like the third instance and say, "Lord, I just want to tell You I love You." Jesus said, "I want you to know she's chosen the most needful part." You know what we need as a Christian? Mom and daddies, leaders, husbands, wives, brother and sisters, you know what we need? The needful part. To sit at His feet. And I want to say this, there's room at His feet. He's not crowded out today. There's resources at His feet. Jesus, do anything. And I don't know what you need today, but I just wonder, did any of this speak to you? Whatever you need's on your heart, may share your play. I'd like to open this altar this morning. If you need to come, would you come? Maybe you too have become so distracted. You just need to get back at His feet and say, "Lord, it is so needful. Would You come this morning? Whatever you need, would You come?" Maybe you hear you've never been saved. It'd be a great morning to fall at His feet. Say, "Lord, save me. Would You come this morning?" Do you need Him to help in a situation? Would you come? Something that you want to tell Him today? There's room at His feet.